The Holy Spirit is a resident, so don't treat him as a visitor. He provides ongoing experiences with the Lord. He already knows the places ahead of you where you will need encounters with him. And so by practicing sensitivity, you become sensitive to the place of encounter. So many times we just rush through the day, we rush through the week, we're unaware of what's going on. And you can look up, it's Friday evening, and you've not had a meaningful conversation with Jesus all week long. So often we go through life and we don't see the places that he's set aside for us in the day. And they're not always going to be huge places. Sometimes it's just a seat at the side of the road. You know, sometimes it might just be, in driving terms, might just be a lay-by that you can just, a parking place, you can just sit for a moment or two. There are places of encounter and experience allotted to you every day. Find them. When we learn to live with a sense of presence, we can receive the gifts that are available to us each day. And then you get to, what you're doing is you start to walk within the abundance of God's intention, intentionality towards you. So there are gifts available each day, I believe. I mean, you might want to think about practicing a lifestyle that can spot them, that can see them, that can request them, that requires them. Sensitivity means that we are open and aware and ready and willing for any kind of encounter. You can always spot people at a conference. I spend half my life in conferences. And people go there because they're looking for a place of encounter. If I wanted an encounter, the last place I would go would be a conference. Seriously. It'd be the last place I would go. It would be on my list, but like about number 9 or 10. If I was really desperate or stupid, I would have to go to a conference. But I wouldn't go to a conference for an encounter personally. Because I have friends. Believe it or not, the cook has friends. I know. Your first place of encounter is your relationship with God. Very often we're forced into going to places to have encounters because we're not alive to who God really is for each one of us. So he provides, the Holy Spirit provides encounters and experiences because he loves to be at the center of everything. He doesn't need to be the center of attraction, though believe me, he loves it all. He's funny that way. He's just alive with humor and laughter. But he loves to facilitate all our growth in life. And he loves to bring the very nature of God into our hearts. So somebody, it's interesting, the relationship between Jesus and the Holy Spirit is so astonishing to me. That Jesus would have no problem saying, he's better than me. It's to your advantage that I go, then he can come. And the Holy Spirit would say, yeah, but I just want to make you like Jesus because I love him. And you're caught, you're actually in the middle between these two characters. In your own heart space. Okay, that was pretty astonishing to me. And he establishes grace for you. Yeah, grace to me is a country that you live in your relationship with God. You know, it's the major part of your relational connection before God is there is loads of grace all around you. So you can be a complete pelican and still get something out of a situation. You can be a prize idiot, but you're still going to win. You know? It's like he wants to you to understand this is the grace in which you stand. It's wide, it's deep, it's expressive. And he wants to teach you how to stand in grace and then how to be bold in that grace, how to come boldly before the throne of grace. So it's important to the Holy Spirit that he instructs and demonstrates the love, the mercy, and the kindness of God. In how truth is presented and applied, both to us and through us. So if the Father is saying to you, be kind, be merciful, and so on, what do you think he's going to be for you? If he's saying to you, you know, edify, exhort, encourage as a way of life, what is it he wants to be for you? He is righteous. That means that he cannot command you to do those things and not be those things for you. Yeah? This whole idea that God is mad and angry, that is a religious spirit. That's a worldly Christian construct that's not biblical. What it means is you cannot injure another person without grieving the Holy Spirit. So we take real care about how we think about people, how we present people to others, how we talk to them, how we live with people around us. You're all going to get you don't have to worry about this. You're all going to get some astonishing practice about in terms of learning how to love people who don't love you. You didn't have no fears on that score. You're going to have some enemies to teach you how to love. You're going to have some human opposition to teach you how to be gracious and kind and merciful. And those people never come around at a time when it's convenient to you. But you know, if you're practicing joy and rejoicing, you can sense the gift in everything. There cannot be anything adverse come around you without something that is for you also being present in the same space. And you're learning to major on what is present for you, not focusing on what is there against you. Yeah? So, if all my detractors really understood how much they have contributed to the presence of God in my life, they would be seriously annoyed. You're either going to use those things for you or you're going to be used by those things. The Holy Spirit is brilliant at thinking along the same lines as Jesus. And he really wants you to get that there is a way of thinking so incredible, so astonishing, it actually lifts you up in your circumstances. He reveals the things that are hidden. Here's my point on this. You know, what if there are things that God has hidden in your life right now? Treasures, gifts, encounters, experiences. that are actually in your life right now, but you can't see them? Wouldn't you want to discover a lifestyle that made those things visible? Of course you would. It's called rejoicing and thanksgiving. You will be astonished at what having a thankful heart makes visible. The perspective it gives you, you would be amazed. You would definitely set time aside each day to give thanks, just to keep lifting your heart. You'd see the gift before the problem showed up. That's something to treasure right there. And some days I see a gift and I say, Lord, that's a gift. He said, yeah, look beyond it. And then I see a problem and I realize, okay, this is for that. And so I go, it's like you pick up something before you encounter the problem rather than afterwards. That's a cool day. But he makes your life a relational experience and encounter, always. It's really helpful if you consider the Holy Spirit to be a person and not a power source. I think he would appreciate that. You know, he does all the things that real people do. You know, he thinks, he has a full range of emotions, he understands the place of the will, he's a chooser. He's a teacher. He prays. He can be lied to. Acts 5. He can be grieved. Ephesians 4. He can be disobeyed. Acts 7. He's a person. He's co-equal in the Trinity. He's not third in line. So, just as Jesus was sent by the Father to be the visible manifestation of the invisible God, so the Holy Spirit was sent by Jesus to perfectly manifest his presence in the lives of his people. The Holy Spirit, Father sent Jesus to represent him. So Jesus came saying, I only do what the Father's doing. I only say what the Father's saying. They're saying, well, show us the Father. If you see me, you've seen him. Yeah? Jesus, Father sent Jesus to represent the Father. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to represent him. Yeah? So the Holy Spirit always is establishing Christ in you at every single opportunity. Loves it. So we become Christ-like by the indwelling presence of the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus living in our hearts. Let me read you that in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 21. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. Yeah? So we're sealed, we're in Christ, sealed in Christ by the Holy Spirit. And he indwells us, and his his chief role is to make us aware of presence, always. So you become a new creation in the presence of Jesus. You are in the presence of God because the Spirit of God indwells you. At some point, you need to be trading on that in everything that you do. I am filled with the presence of God. I have the presence of God with me. There are days when I feel it, but on the days that I don't, I love trusting. Yeah? And you'll get to do both. You'll get to trust. You'll get to experience. You'll get to experience. You'll get to trust If you're wise, you'll treat them both the same. If I experience the presence of God tangibly, yahoo! If I have to trust that the presence of God is with me, yahoo! It's the same thing. Don't treat it as though it's different. It's the same. It's the indwelling presence of God in the Holy Spirit that provides us with the right, the privilege, the freedom, and the authority in the spiritual realm and to express that on earth. So when Jesus breathed on the disciples in John 20:22, he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Here's the thing. In Genesis 2, God breathed the breath into Adam and caused him to be alive. And now Jesus imparts the very breath of God, the Holy Spirit, into his disciples. And that's why we're alive to him. There is a difference between John 20 and Acts 2 at Pentecost. It's not a contradiction, it's a paradox. John 20 is indwelling, receiving an indwelling life and breath to live by who God is. It's the authority and the right to become children of God. Acts 2 is the outpouring and the equipping for power and acts of service. John 20 is permission to be. Acts 2 is the power to do. In John 20, Jesus is fulfilling the promise of John 7 and John 14. John 7, that out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Acts 2 is a fulfillment of the prophecy that John the Baptist came about Jesus, saying, "I can baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." John 20 is a release of presence. Acts 2 is a release of power. So you need that duality of the work of the Holy Spirit, which is the indwelling work of the Spirit, and the empowering work of the Spirit that gives you power to do things. The other one gives you power to become. And we don't confuse the two. So we're not asking the Lord to give us power to become. We're recognizing that I have an indwelling presence that enables me to do that. And the difference in the two works is often the empowering presence of God can be noisy and loud and visible, like, you know, a mighty rushing wind and flames of fire. But the indwelling work of the Holy Spirit is often quiet. It's hidden. It's still. It's peaceful. You'd hardly know it was there unless you were looking for it. Yeah? That's why it's important that we learn how to rest in the Lord and how to be still. Because when you're still, you feel the Holy Spirit indwelling. For me, it's one of the reasons why I have a meditation room at home, is because I like to practice being still. I love stillness as a way of life. I like just sitting. And some days I get the privilege of feeling the indwelling presence of God. If God isn't tangible to you, either you're learning to trust or you're just not very good at asking or expecting that God would touch you. I ask the Lord always. I love the tangible presence of God. My kids grew up being embarrassed to walk down the road with me because sometimes God would walk down the road with me and hold my hand, which for a guy walking down the road, holding someone's hand who's not present, that's a little embarrassing. It's like my kids would walk like almost like good little Muslim children 30 yards behind Dad. Dad's being embarrassing. And a couple of times, I remember Seth, when he was 8, we were sat watching a cartoon, and suddenly God kissed me on the forehead, and my son heard the smack. What was that? Oh, God just kissed me. Well, will he kiss me too? For sure. About 30 seconds later, there was a smack. Suddenly the cartoon has lost all its power. Now he wants to talk about something else. That's funny. So when we receive Christ by the power of the Spirit, we receive the indwelling presence made real by the Holy Spirit. When we receive the baptism of the Spirit, we receive power to do the works of Jesus. Now, here's the thing. Revelation of a person tells you how to be with them in relationship. We're learning that all the time in our own friendships. We're learning who to trust for things. We're learning who's trustworthy, who will keep their word, who can keep a confidence, who you can trust with things in your own heart, and who you know, well, maybe I shouldn't tell that person things about myself. You know that. Revelation of a person tells you how to be with them in relationship. Experience of a person denotes what you can expect from them in a crisis. There are certain people that if my life was in a crisis, they would walk away from me. One of my values is, because I want to try and be the best friend possible. So one of my values is that a real friend walks in when everybody else walks out. Experience of a person denotes what you can expect from them in a crisis. Encounter with a person tells you how much you can expect from them in terms of integrity, trust, and commitment. There are some people, if I was in difficulty, they wouldn't want the phone call. There are some people who've already put their hand up in my life and said, if you are ever in trouble, call me. Especially. Call me anytime. But especially call me when you're going through something. So you know who are the people around your life who are precious and valuable. And I hope, guys, that you're planning to be that kind of person to somebody else. Okay, here's the thing. If you sow that, you'll reap it. If you're the person who stands off or walks away or can't be trusted with something, you'll experience those things in your own life, no doubt. So the Holy Spirit gives us the presence of Christ. You know, when the disciples were in the company of Jesus in his early ministry, they walked in a tangible reality of his presence. And his presence overcame every difficulty and supplied every need. When they were faced with needy people they didn't know what to do with, they would bring them to Jesus and say, help this one, and they'd stand back and watch what he did. When they're faced with thousands of hungry people, did they just gave Jesus some fish sandwiches and watched what happened next? Yeah? When they were in the storm and they cried out, Master, we're perishing, he would speak to the elements. They had this tangible presence with them all the time. And they learned in that context that in that 3-year period, the presence of Jesus was all they needed. And when he laid hands on them and sent them out, they went out with his presence. That's what he gave them. And so they came back rejoicing. Even the demons are like, have to do what we tell them. Yahoo, this is great. Everything depended upon having Christ with them. Well, nothing has changed. Everything depends on you having Christ's presence with you. to get through every day, to meet every difficulty with the secret consciousness that the Lord Jesus, the Almighty One, is with me, that I can be prepared for anything and my heart can be in perfect rest and joy. Why? It's the Holy Spirit's job. It's his job to make the presence of Jesus tangible. He's good at his job. You need to partner with him in the thing that he loves to do best in your life: make Jesus real. The two things Jesus promised about presence, one was John 14:18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will never allow you to be an orphan. You're a child of God learning to be a son of God. I'll never treat you as an orphan. I won't leave you comfortless. The second thing was, it's to your advantage to have the Comforter present with you. John 16. When he promised the Holy Spirit, it was so that his indwelling presence would enable him and the Father to take up residence within you. Holy Spirit is absolutely crucial to everything that you are and everything you're going to become. He is the abiding presence. And the work of that abiding presence is to glorify Christ's presence within you. He's always going to show you Jesus. He's always going to speak to you, always going to connect with you, always going to be there. And he expects you to grow into a place where you have a deep sense of Christ within, because that's the hope of glory. And to touch glory on this earth, because the glory of God is that he is good. So he intends to make goodness and mercy follow you, surround you, be present with you. A lot of that work may be quiet, still, almost behind the scenes indwelling. For there are going to be days when it's outrageous, outstanding, completely visible, and you may not be able to physically stand up in those moments. You'll be overtaken by something in those moments. It's both and. It's a paradox. He will always glorify Jesus in you, to you, for you, through you. Ask for it. It's a part of your authority. It's a part of your right. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. That power is it's for you to have the authority and the right and the privilege to become sons, but to become like Jesus. He loves to keep you in a state of unbroken fellowship and communion. But that fellowship and communion, it flows, it ebbs and it flows from trust into something tangible and back again. Yeah? So if you're not feeling the presence of God, you need to be trusting for the presence of God. When you're feeling the presence of God, he doesn't want you to trust for the presence of God. He just wants you to enjoy it. But if you're not feeling presence, trust that he's there. Yeah? You're always flowing. So your communion ebbs and flows. What you do in the ebb is just as important as what you do in the flow. And if you will it, you know, in real terms, there's no difference in the two in terms of outcome. If you're in the ebb, you can know the presence of God by trust. If you're in the flow, you can know the presence of God by encounter. Well, you're going to know the presence of God either way. So you enjoy them for what they are. If you treat them as, if you make no distinction between them, there doesn't have to be one. So, you know, I can trust and I can experience both as a Yahoo moment. Because I'm indwelt, so I'm just getting over my bad self, yeah? If you yield to the work of the Holy Spirit, you will know the reality of His presence. The place you start from is important. You start from being in Christ, not moving towards Him. You're in Christ right now. All your current inability is part of the package right now. Yeah? So you're not undone by what you're not. What you are not is always outclassed by who He is. Yeah, you're never undone by what you're not. Because He knows your frame. He remembers that you're dust. Yeah, He knows what you're like with Him, what you're like without Him. Holy Spirit is cool with who you are. He just has plans to change some things. And knowing the plan is critical to that relationship. But the Spirit is the key. He reveals the presence of Jesus so that you can be made into His likeness. Christ dwells within by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the presence of Christ depends upon one thing. And it is the humility of dependence. He came saying, I think He must have said it at least half a dozen times in the book of John alone. I can do nothing of myself. All I can do is what the Father is doing. All I can say is what the Father is saying. My meat and my drink is to do the will of Him who sent me. What's that? It's the humility of dependence. Jesus depended on presence. Well, I guess if it was good enough for Him, it's good enough for us. Yeah? All your life, just enjoy depending on the presence of someone who will never let you down, who always has a great opinion of you, who put you into the one place where He could always be moving towards you in fullness. The one who knows you best loves you best. Jesus allowed the Father to teach Him. He let the Father work in Him. He permitted the Father to carry out His own will. We're just following that brilliant example. So this likeness of Christ is founded on a deep dependence upon His Father. That's the very essence of presence. Is the humility of dependence. I can only do what the Father's doing. I don't have any words to say of my own, any things to do of my own. I only say what the Father's saying. I only do what the Father's doing. My meat and my drink is to do the will of Him who sent me. People ask me, well, how do you know that stuff? And I'm thinking, well, like in the prophetic, how do you know that stuff? Well, I don't know anything. I just told you what I heard. You know, I'm just a conduit. I told you what I heard. I passed on to you what I saw about you. I didn't know that before I saw it. You know? can only say what the Father's saying. You know, and in your life, you're being broken in the nicest possible sense. You're being broken to a place of deep humility where you get the luxury of never having to trust yourself again. Yeah? And that's amazing to me. Nothing I do is dependent upon me. Can't tell you what a great relief that is. But it makes you more sensitive to the nature and the character of God. That we know that in and of ourselves, we have no real power outside of presence. So I guess what I'm saying is I want you to love the presence of God more than anything else, and definitely more than you love ministry. Love presence more than power. If you love power more than presence, you're going to shipwreck yourself. There's too many people out there right now moving in power but behaving nothing like who Jesus is. And that ship is just going to crash on the rocks at some point. Love presence and you'll always have power in the thing that God has called you to do. But the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, that's where you love God. That's where you love life. I know guys, all the guys I started out with in the prophetic, I'm the only one left. And what's fascinating to me is that gifting level in the prophetic, they were all better than me. But I'm the only one left. Two of them are in mental institutions. Two committed suicide. The rest are not walking with God. They love power more than presence. I was thankful that I had mentors around my life who all threatened me with unimaginable death if I didn't love the presence of Jesus more than ministry. It taught me that my first ministry is always towards the Lord. Your presence, you'll always have power in the thing that God has called you to do. But if you love power more than presence, you're a shipwreck waiting to happen. Holy Spirit loves you, is excited about you, knows everything that's on God's heart, knows the intention of the Father, listens to, agrees with, and prays the same thing as the Lord Jesus Christ over you. He knows the prayers of Jesus for you. He is familiar with the intercession of the Christ, knows the intentionality of the Father, and he is the one who gets the job of making it all happen. Loves his job. Loves it. And he has a passion for you. And you should pick up on what that passion feels like and tastes like. Because any passion you have will come to you through your relationship with the Holy Spirit. All your excitement comes from him. You can be massively encouraged all the time because of his presence. And the great thing is you get to make decisions about whether you are going to be discouraged or not. You don't have to accept anything negative. Because the indwelling presence will always say, yeah, but there's a more excellent way. He has the ability to turn every negative into a positive. He is brilliant at that. There are some Davids and Esthers in this room. There are some Daniels and Calebs and Deborahs in this room. You should decide who you want to be. Ask the Holy Spirit, how do you see me? Because there is a persona set aside for each of you. And your persona is how you are known in heaven. This is not just some arbitrary work of the Holy Spirit. Well, yeah, just generally I'm going to make you like Jesus. No, very specifically, he's going to make you like Jesus. Within your calling, within what he's got for you, he has a very specific remit of you being Christ-like in that genre, in that persona. And how you are known in heaven is critical to your development. Daniel was a man greatly beloved. When the angel came to him and said, oh Daniel, oh man greatly beloved. That's how he was known in heaven. Massively loved by God, felt it. Could stand in that whole nation against everything and win. Why? Because it's the power of the one with the one. Danny boy, he knew that stuff. Caleb, man of a different spirit. As strong at the end of his life as he was when he first left Egypt. Loved the battle, relished the fight. And when there was one last giant stronghold left, he pushed everybody else aside, got right in Joshua's face, and said, you know that Moses promised me this. I want that last fight. Man after God's own. You know, man of a different spirit. David, a man after God's own heart. They all had a persona in heaven. Gabriel came to John the Baptist's father while John was still in the womb. And he told him what kind of person John would be. Why? Because that's how he was known in heaven. The brat wasn't even born yet. And already heaven was saying, yeah, but we know who he is. And this is who he's going to be. God knows who you are, beloved. And the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit is sent to establish your identity in Christ and his identity in you. And all your tests in life and circumstances, they're all related to your persona. They're all related to how God sees you. That's why you're all going to have different tests in life. But all your tests are related to how heaven sees you. That's why your tests are important. You pass the tests, you get to grow up in who you really are in Christ. There's an indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. It's quiet, it's purposeful. It's almost like a behind-the-scenes thing, but you've got to pay attention to it. Letting your yes be yes and your no be no. When you give your word, keep it. Being a river of encouragement, blessing everyone you meet, edifying people, watching how you have conversations, watching how you present other people. having respect, treating people with dignity and respect, learning to love people who don't love you, learning how not to be negative, angry, and so on and so forth. That quiet work of the Holy Spirit in you is as important, if not more important, as pursuing the gifts, as laying hands on people, of seeing people healed and people set free. And two works of the Holy Spirit, one in you, one through you. Don't confuse the two. And when your life is under pressure, always conform to what's going on the inside. There are times when if my life is really under pressure, I'll drop out of ministry to take care of the real business. Now, I'm much more sensible. I build in time through the year. Hangout time. I only work a certain number of weeks a year in terms of the outward stuff. I work on the inward stuff all the time. Yeah? And so I don't go out there to earn money, because I could stay at home and God would pay me. I'm his paid friend. The thing is, you know that there's part of my time, part of my life where, Lord, if you're wanting me to do all of this, to become this person, then you need to pay me to hang out. Yeah? So what if there is a provision, there is some treasure for you to set time aside to hang out? Ah, it's just a question. But you'll never know if you don't ask it, eh? So God wants presence. More than power. But the truth is, power depends on presence. Jesus went aside from the disciples and the crowds into the mountains to spend time alone. And he got paid for it. I mean, you know, when you're a kid and someone gives your parents a gold bar, that's pretty much going to pay for a lot of stuff. Yeah. You would be surprised at the provisions of God that he will bring into your life. No, you'll be astonished at the provisions of God that he will bring into your life. So the very least we can do is be like Jesus, who revered the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I worship you. You are God to me. Every bit as much as the Father and the Son. And I rejoice in your passion for me. Give you thanks for your willingness to be present in all areas of my life. I thank you for your passion for my development. Thank you that you love encounters and experiences with me. Thank you for being such an amazing teacher. And thank you so much for the way that you pray and the way that you are and your exuberance and your excitement and your enthusiasm and your quiet tenacity. your stamina. That you love being in my life. You love being the voice in my heart. You love whispering things into my soul. You love laughing. I don't get that you laugh at me so much. But I love the fact that you do. I'm a source of quiet amusement to you. But your love for me is never less than total. And I love the fact that you adore Jesus in me. And that you're sent into my life as a gift to make me true as a person. I love the fact you're so tenacious. You are the embodiment of all that's good in heaven. That the Father and the Son trust you implicitly to represent them in my heart and my life. And you're so brilliant at everything. Thank you for the way you see me. Thank you for the provision that is around my life. Thank you that you're present future. Thank you that you're teaching me the steps that I need to take right now. And your grace is astonishing. And your joy and your love and your peace, so outrageous. Thank you for indwelling my own heart and forming Christ. You are the presence of God, and you're here in my life. And every day you're teaching me to work from presence, not towards it. To work with who you are now and who you want to be. So I ask for a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. And would you plug all the areas that leak so that we can learn to overflow? I ask for a fresh infilling of your presence. I ask for a tangible hit on every single one of us. Lord, I ask, just this week, I ask for an experience and an encounter with you that's tangible, that we can feel and we can know, oh my God, oh, that's God. That was God. Just that tangible sign, yep, I'm here. Thank you for training us. Thank you for equipping us. Thank you for indwelling us. I pray that we would live lives that are astonished and amazed. Because I think you do astonishment and amazement really well. And Father, I give you thanks for the gift of Jesus and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you that heaven lives in our hearts. And thank you that you're teaching us to live from the inside to the outside. We have a whole world within to explore. Because you are with us and you're never going to leave us. So I give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for listening, guys. I appreciate it so much.